be baptized. What a thing that was. And John is unsurprisingly shocked. Just before this part of the passage, we've already read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, how John had already proclaimed that he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He said, I'm not even fit to hold the sandals that he wears. And in John's gospel, he tells us how when Jesus first came in sight, John called out, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So no wonder John in our reading concludes when Jesus asks for baptism, well, I don't need to be baptized. I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me. You see, Jesus was the Messiah. He was the unique Son of God who had come into the world. He was the Savior. He was the spotless Lamb of God. He was to bear the sins of the world. He was the one that John had been pointing towards, longing to come, helping people to see. So how come, John is thinking, does Jesus ask me for baptism? Surely it should be the other way round. He should baptize me. How can I baptize the Son of God? What a dilemma. But Jesus anticipates all of this. And he gives the answer, verse 15 in our text. He says, let it be so, for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. This is Jesus' first public appearance, as we're told in the Gospels. Up until this point, we've been hearing something about his childhood, but here, suddenly, he steps into the public role. He comes into the limelight, so to speak. And what Matthew does here is records for us the first words of the adult Jesus. These are the first words that were recorded that he had spoken. And they are very significant words. It is fitting, Jesus said, to fulfill all righteousness. And it's those words, through the lens of those words, I just want to look at the baptism of Jesus, what it meant for him, and therefore what it means for us. So first of all, as Jesus came here at the very start of his ministry, he came to baptism. And what we see is righteous obedience to the will of his Father. It's my first point. By submitting himself to baptism, Jesus was submitting himself to God the Father's will upon his life. He was giving himself in total consecration of his life, of his holiness, of all that he was, consecrated to his Father. It is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. It's like a life goal statement of Jesus. If it was a New Year's a resolution, it would have been the greatest New Year's resolution in the whole of history. But it was more than a New Year's resolution. It's like a life statement for Jesus. And I've been challenged myself as I've been preparing and looking at these words at this particular time of year. The most challenging question I think we can ask of ourselves is my life goal to fulfill all righteousness? This year I hit a milestone. Beginning of December, when we were doing baptisms, I told you about my infant baptism, and so you can figure out, if you were here, how old I'm going to be this year. I meet the big 6-0 this year, a significant milestone in my life. And Inika and I are asking, Inika, my wife, we're asking ourselves questions about this next season of life that we're coming into, because suddenly when you reach 60, your future seems rather close. In fact, I'm not sure how many more years And so you're beginning to think of retirement, beginning to think of, well, what do I do over this last stage of life? Not that I'm looking for the end quite yet, but a significant question in my life and my wife's life at the moment. What does fulfilling righteousness mean to me? What does it mean to you, whatever life stage that you are in? How do we live rightly before God and follow in the steps that He has for us? And this is a question that's true for us all who follow Christ. And so as we look at the baptism of Jesus, we see here that at His baptism, it was a moment of decision in His own life journey. As He grew up through His childhood, He would have grown in understanding of who He was as the Son of God, the unique calling upon His life. We find little snippets of this within the Gospels. Perhaps one that we can remember is when He was age 12. Can you remember? And His mum and dad, Joseph and Mary, were saying, hey, let's go home now. And He said, no, I'm staying here in the temple because I want to know what the Father's will is for my life. Speaking, of course, of God, His Father. He was understanding more of the calling of His life as He grew up, as He studied the Scriptures. He became more and more aware of His life's purpose. He was wondering, what next? What is it that I have to do to fulfill my Father's calling? And then suddenly, John the Baptist came onto the scene. He was the one that was calling everybody to come to the Messiah. He was preparing the way of the Lord. And Jesus realized that this was His call to action. This is when He was now to step into His ministry. His ministry was being heralded by John the Baptist, the herald. And Jesus came to the waters of baptism to fulfill all righteousness. To us all come moments of decision. When we follow God, we all have His call upon our lives. He calls each one of us into a personal relationship with Him to follow Christ, to be obedient to Him. And the question becomes, as we think about the beginning of this new year, will we step in obedience to Christ? And maybe for you this year, maybe even this day, the step that you will need to make will be that first step to follow Christ, to give your life to Him, to follow Him as your Lord and your Master. And if God is speaking to you about that, please come for prayer at the end of our service. Please speak to any of the staff or pastors around the cathedral, and we'd love to tell you more about that. It may be that you have already come to Christ and you've not yet been baptized. And this is the year that you are called in obedience to step into your own baptism. We've got a baptism course that is coming up soon. You can read about that in our bulletin sheet. Again, you can speak to any of us pastors, and we will help you with that. Maybe that's a step of obedience for you. But most of you here already baptized, just like I was speaking about at the beginning of December at our baptism service. We always should be seeking to live out our baptism. So the question becomes for those of us that are baptized is, how are we going to live deeper in our baptism? How are we going to continue to grow in our faith? What is God going to do to call us to step further into obedience to following Him? How are we going to fulfill the calling for us to fulfill righteousness within our lives? This is our ongoing journey as Christians. Then to further help us, my second point. In His baptism, Jesus identified fully with our humanity. Let's think about this for a moment. Because John the Baptist was quite right when Jesus came to ask him for baptism, to ask questions about, well, why, Jesus, should you be baptized? because he was the spotless Lamb of God. So there were no sins to be washed away. There was no need for any repentance. So why would Jesus be baptized? The unique Son of God, you see, did not need baptism for his own sake, but he did go to the waters of baptism for our sake. He did not need it for his sake, but he went for our sake. To fulfill all righteousness, he submitted himself to baptism to identify with us in every way. And then so as we read through the gospel narratives, we see how he continued to identify with us, not just at his baptism, but throughout his earthly life. Straight away after the baptism, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, and he went into the a testing of his humanity and his calling. And we see him there being tempted by the forces of evil. He's identifying with the temptation against sin. He's tempted to use his divine power rather than to trust in God's word. He's tempted to test God's love for him. He's tempted to worship the world and give his allegiance to the cause of Satan. Then throughout his ministry, we see him going on to confront the kingdom of darkness. He identifies with the needy, with the outcast, with the sick, with the hurting. He proclaims and demonstrates the good news of the kingdom coming into this world. We see him continuing to identify at many different points, but most poignantly in the Garden of Gethsemane, you can remember this terrible anguish of soul. Father, if you can take this cup from me, please do. But not your will, my will, but your will be done. We see him on the cross of Calvary, absorbing the suffering and the hatred of the world. He takes upon himself the sin of the world, my sin and your sin. At his baptism, Jesus identified with our humanity, and then he lived it out in his life. Therefore, whatever we come up against, he knows about it. He understands. The writer to the Hebrews concludes in Hebrews 4, we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, yet without sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. He has truly identified with our human living, with our human frailty, with our human brokenness, with our human needs, with our human sorrows, with all the sufferings and pains that can come our way. He has been there, and therefore he can come alongside us and bring his comfort and his help. And we can be confident in that truth. Jesus identified at his baptism with our humanity fully. And then when we read on, as he came up out of the waters of baptism, verse 16, behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest upon him. Now, actually, Jesus didn't need this any more than he needed baptism for forgiveness of sins. Remember what John the Baptist has already said. He said, after me, one who is coming who is more powerful. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus is the Spirit giver. Jesus is the life giver. And yet, the Spirit of God came upon him. And we're drawn here into the mystery of the person of Christ, Son of God and Son of Man. He was born as the divine Son of God, and he remained fully God the Son. And yet, as we've just seen, he came born as a human being and lived fully human amongst us. St. Paul's put it this way, Philippians chapter 2. Christ, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, held on to. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You see, the point is this. It was in his humanity that he lived out his ministry and his life calling and his mission. And so in his humanity, he needed to know the equipping and the empowering of the Holy Spirit upon him and within him. And therefore, if Jesus needs to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to live his life, how much more do we? Because one thing is for certain, if we try and fulfill righteousness in our own strength, we shall surely fail. If we try to live out the Christian life from within our own resources, we are always going to be struggling with the sin of our human nature. But as we give ourselves in righteousness, as we give ourselves in commitment, as we give ourselves in obedience to the will of the Father, he will empower us by his Holy Spirit so that we might live out the call upon our lives, that we might fulfill the righteousness that he calls us to. He will empower us for the life that he calls us to. And then finally, we see that at his baptism, Jesus received the Father's affirmation. We read how when heaven was opened, a voice called out and said, "Behold, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And this can be translated, "I am delighted with you." I am delighted. The Father delights in his Son. Now again, Jesus actually didn't need to know that in some ways. He already knew it. The voice only confirms what he already knew was true. The Son had always known the Father's unconditional love from all eternity. And yet, in his humanity, he has this wonderful affirmation as he steps in obedience into his life's calling. "In you, Son, I am pleased. I am delighted." This was the primary motivating factor in Jesus' life. The more I learn about my Christian faith, the more I understand that this must be true and our motivating factor. And we all need to hear this, but pastors and leaders need to hear this very much as well. Jesus did not do ministry to please his Father. His Father was already delighted with him, so pleased with him. And he declared this at his baptism. Our relationship with God, brothers and sisters, is never dependent on what we do for God. It never can be. That is why the Christian faith is a faith which is utterly and completely and totally based on grace. The unmerited, undeserved mercy of the goodness of God, who simply draws us by his love into relationship with himself. Our service for him, our ministry for him, any good work that we might try and do for him, does not change his love for his children one little bit. He loves you because he loves you, because he loves you. I've said that before here, and I'll undoubtedly say it again. So important for us to understand. And this is what Jesus was affirmed in before he stepped out in his ministry. Before Jesus spoke one word in a sermon, before he did one act of a miracle, before he did anything in ministry, he knew of his Father's love and affirmation. So many people struggle with a negative view of God, that he's some kind of mean taskmaster. He's some kind of demanding authority figure or parental figure, somebody who is never satisfied. But that is not the God that Jesus revealed to us. The reality is the deep, deep desire and passion of the loving God is to affirm his children with his love. So to every baptized believing Christian, he says to us what he said to Jesus at his baptism. You are my daughter. You are my son. And with you, I am delighted. And we then need to learn to live within that truth. So many people find that hard to accept. Some of you will be doing that right now. Must be speaking to that other person. But God is speaking to you this morning. But we do need the Holy Spirit's help. And St. Paul wrote this for us in Romans 8. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, of daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So as the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism, as we invite the Holy Spirit to come to us, he is the one that makes real in our lives the fact that God is our Father and we are his children. May we have ears to hear and hearts to respond that we are beloved, we are accepted, we are cherished. And then from that, we live out lives that seek to fulfill all righteousness. Let's bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Lord, we just pause and still our hearts and invite your Holy Spirit to come and bring revelation to us and bring home your word to us, your word of truth and your word of life. Lord Jesus, you submitted yourself to baptism, and in doing so, you identified fully with us. And so we come to you now in all of our weakness and with all of our needs, with all of our failures, with all of our hopes. We come at the beginning of a new year, maybe uncertain of what lays ahead, maybe with hearts full of passion, maybe hearts that have been somewhat crushed. But we come as we are to you. And Lord, we pray that you would help us as you call us into new steps of obedience in this new year and whatever season of life we are in, as we seek to live out our discipleship in obedience to you. And so, Lord, send your Holy Spirit to empower us, to equip us, and to commission us in your service. And Lord, as we do that, would you speak deep into our hearts, affirming us that you are our Father, that we are first of all children. And then enable us, Lord, to live lives that please you, because you are so pleased with us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In response to the Word of God. We're going to stand and sing our response hymn, sort of a chorus. It'll come up on the screen before you. Father, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Spirit, we love you. Let's stand together.
Peter Cook for sharing the Word of God with us. Please remain standing. Let us affirm our faith in God by saying the Nicene Creed found on page 32 together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made,